Hello, everyone. We are so excited to announce this year's Principles to Practice Summit on Montessori and Ecological Consciousness. Join us for this transformative summit, which brings together experts, scientists, activists, and educators to explore how Montessori education can nurture environmental stewardship in our students and cultivate a generation of sustainability leaders. Our lineup of speakers, including our keynote speaker, Robin Wall Kimmerer, will present practical strategies for seamlessly integrating Montessori principles with sustainable practices, empowering educators to foster environmentally aware and socially responsible learners. The summit will run June 17th through 19th, but tickets are available now. Head over to courses.trilliummontessori.org for more information.
I'm Simi Abdullah, and I'd like to welcome you to Trillium Montessori Talks, the podcast where we dig into the theory and application of Montessori methodology in the classroom and beyond. This podcast is produced in cooperation with Letty Rising and other Trillium course creators. Our goal is to provide you with a weekly dose of tips, tools, and inspiration so you can optimize the classroom experience for your students and yourself. Ready? Let's talk Montessori.
Welcome to Montessori Talks, where we talk about all things related to the Montessori elementary environment and other Montessori-related topics as well. My name is Letty Rising, and I am the host of this podcast. And in today's session, we are going to be talking about building relationships through games. So as a teacher, building relationships with your students is one of the most important things you can do to create a positive and productive learning environment, whether you're playing indoor games or board games or outside games. These activities can be a fun and effective way to build relationships with your students. Building strong connections with your elementary age students is such an important and exciting part of their growth journey. When kids have strong connections with their caregivers, their educators, their friends, it gives them a secure base from where they can thrive academically, socially, and emotionally. And what better way to build relationships than through games? They're not only fun to play, but they also provide a unique opportunity for kids to interact and bond with each other. So let's talk about games as a strategy for connection. So games are a powerful tool for promoting social interaction and communication, as they allow children to interact with each other in a relaxed and fun environment. And that is such an important thing for them to be able to do, particularly at the beginning of a new school year, when at least a third of the community is new, if not more, when they are new to the school. It's really important for them to learn how to interact with each other in a way that feels familiar, and that's going to increase their comfort level and therefore help them really navigate the environment more easily. Games such as charades and 20 questions or Pictionary, those are indoor games. Those can be lots of fun to do in small groups with children, or even a little bit larger groups. A lot of those games can be done. Or if you're thinking about outdoor, Capture the Flag is a fun game, and parachute games. All of these games can be used to promote communication and teamwork. These particular games that I just mentioned, and of course, there are many more that could be served as examples, require children to communicate with each other, to listen actively to one another, to work together to achieve a common goal. This type of interaction is really essential for building positive relationships, as it allows the children to learn more about each other and also help them develop trust and mutual respect. And becoming part of a team and having that sense of belonging is such an important aspect of the elementary community. And a quick and easy way to do that is through games. Board games, card games, and sports are also effective games for building relationships. board games such as Scrabble or Clue or Scattergories and Cranium. Those promote teamwork and communication as they require the players to work together to achieve a common goal. And there are also card games like Memory or Go Fish or Crazy Eights or Rummy. These are some classic card games that children have played for a millennial, and they are excellent for promoting social interaction and communication as they require players to communicate with one another and pay attention to what their opponents are doing. So while playing board games might not be the first thing that comes to mind as a classroom activity, they really are wonderful elements to introduce during the first weeks of school as students are really getting to know each other. And they're also great to pull out on rainy days or, you know, during those recess times when you are able to have either indoor or outdoor recess, you can bring board games outside. In fact, I have found that to be a really nice thing for students who need to be outside and having some fresh air, but they don't necessarily want to be running around. They might want to be sitting at a table and having an enjoyable time with some friends in a different kind of a way. And sometimes you also want to bring out these kinds of games when there's a need for a reset in the environment. Playing games together in a classroom setting can really provide a sense of bonding and belonging. Children who play games with their teachers in particular feel more comfortable communicating with them and feel more connected to them. So if you're just like, you know, being your teacher self and feeling like you need to present lessons and that's your responsibility and your duty, you want to shake it up a little bit. And of course, you want your lessons to be fun, but they'd like to see you doing things that are familiar to them with them. So, for example, just playing games and even running around with them at recess, they are going to feel more connected to you. They'll feel like they can go up to you more and hang out with you. And it's just going to make the classroom environment run much more smoothly. Playing games as a group can promote that teamwork and cooperation and that collaboration, which are really essential skills for the children to develop. And that collaboration in particular is something you want them to be building for group work. And so it's much easier to start at a point that they know and that they're familiar with, which is playing games. And then that is going to make their group work time much more easily accessible to them and easy for them to do. So let's talk about games supporting executive functioning, social and emotional development. The depth of learning a variety of social, emotional, and executive functioning skills through games cannot be overestimated. Social skills that can be developed include communication and collaboration through teamwork and turn-taking. And while many people think that children learn these things through playing games at home, and they have in the past, parents these days are often very busy, and it can't be assumed that traditional games that children have played with families at home in the past are being played in homes today. Parents are busier than ever, and finding the time to play games isn't always very easy. And so games involve that sort of turn-taking and teamwork and being a follower, being a leader. And these are such important aspects for the independent work cycle because they're actually doing a lot of similar things during that time as they would be if they are playing games with children out at recess, for example. Games that involve teamwork and cooperation can teach children how to communicate effectively with others and work together towards a common goal. This can also help them develop those turn-taking skills, as we were talking about earlier, because it's hard at first to understand what it means to share something, what it means to take ownership while being part of a group, and turn-taking skills is something that is highly valued and a skill that's really needed, and it's really important in their social interactions. Role-playing games can help children develop empathy and perspective-taking by encouraging them to put themselves in other people's shoes and understand different perspectives. Conflict resolution is another important social skill that can be developed through games. And what's coming up for me right now as I'm thinking about that is also the idea of, winning and losing. And while in Montessori environments, we try to do a lot of collaborative games and games that aren't necessarily super competitive, as the kids get into elementary and upper elementary, they're playing soccer out on the field and capture the flag. And games do have winners and losers. And learning how to lose gracefully and how to win and be humble. These are important skills that are going to help them with their peer relations in the classroom and make that work cycle run even more smoothly. Games that involve negotiation and compromise can really teach children how to resolve those conflicts too and help them find mutually beneficial solutions. So remember, the elementary child is social, and they are all about negotiations, discussions, conversations, collaborations, and this is happening through games all the time. Emotional skills that can be developed through games include self-regulation, self-esteem, and resilience. Self-regulation skills can be developed through games that require children to manage their emotions and frustration. Games that are challenging but achievable can help children develop a sense of self-esteem by giving them a sense of accomplishment and success. Resilience can also be developed through games as children learn to face and overcome challenges. There are always some obstacles in a game, and sometimes those obstacles can be a point of frustration, but it's also good for children to have those curated and maybe artificial moments of frustration that they learn how to overcome with their peers they feel safe with or with their teachers, so that when they grow older and they are faced with challenges and obstacles in the game of real life, they are able to overcome them much more easily. And they're able to problem solve their way through them. So games that involve those problem solving and decision-making aspects can really help children develop the emotional skills of persistence and determination, which are really important, particularly, as we're seeing that a lot of teachers are saying, oh, the child started this activity and they didn't want to complete it, or they didn't stick with it, or they're always starting a new project or a follow-up and they don't complete it. Having them work through some of those games during recess, or rainy day time, or if you have a particular time of the week that you're dedicating to some games, is going to help in those endeavors. Executive functioning skills can be developed through games, and the kinds of executive functioning skills that will be developed include planning and organization. Because there is a lot of planning and organization. You have to think ahead of time. There's a lot of strategy involved in games, and also just thinking about getting it out, setting it up, organizing the board. And I'm talking about board games right now. The outdoor games have their, own kinds of setup requirements. And so, setting it up, but thinking about who's going to start, go first, and, organizing all of that. So there's a lot of planning and organization involved. Attention and focus, if you need to pay attention to what the other people are doing in the game in order to play the game. So, if you lose your focus and you're not attentive, then it's hard to know where you're at. And since children like games and they love collaborative endeavors, particularly elementary children, there is a huge motivation to have attention on something and to focus on something when it comes to playing a game. So that's a great motivator for them. Whereas certain other activities may not pull their attention and focus as greatly. And, games also call upon the need for flexibility and adaptability, which are other executive functioning skills. Sometimes you're in the game and you need to change direction, or maybe everybody thinks that a rule isn't working and they need to change that rule. Either individuals or collectively, they are called upon to be adaptable in the middle of the game because things don't always go the way you think they're going to go. And that, especially if you're in a game where you're winning, quote unquote, and then you start losing. And learning how to have sort of adaptability around that is really important. Games that require strategy and goal setting can really help develop those planning and organizational skills. And games that require sustained engagement, as we were talking about with attention and focus, can really help them develop those attentions and focusing skills that are, and that's going to transfer over into their history, their biology, their geography, their math and language, and all other areas. And games that involve problem solving and decision making really help develop those flexibility and adaptability skills. And so all of these things are really important for children to develop, and they help them to become successful in school, but also in other areas of their lives. So let's talk about the idea of structured versus unstructured games. Structured games are those that have set rules and goals and objectives and have a specific way to win or lose. And so a lot of the games that I've talked about up until this point are those kinds of games. And examples of structured games include board games, sports, and tag games. These games can be great for teaching children specific skills such as strategy and teamwork, and can really be a fun way for the children to spend their time. But then there are also unstructured games, and these are the kinds of games that they play usually out in the yard, out at recess, that don't really have a set of rules or objectives, and they often involve the children using their imagination and their creativity to create their own games. Examples of unstructured games include free play, or even dress up and make believe and pretend, which I know we don't necessarily do in Montessori classrooms, but I see children doing that outside in the yard often. And they are often pretending, they're doing a lot of role playing and pretending scenarios that have to do with life and society. You know, they're pretending like they're a family, or they're pretending they're playing school even though they're at school. Or they're pretending they're on an adventure and there's, you know, a monster after them or something, and they need to organize themselves and make sure that they're going to be safe. So these kinds of games allow the children to explore their imagination and express their creativity, and really helps them take the lead in directing their own play. It's really important for children to have time to engage in unstructured play because it allows them to develop their creativity, imagination, and problem-solving skills. And it also really helps them to develop those social skills. They're really doing a lot of negotiation, cooperation, and you're seeing a lot of leadership happening. You'll often see, you know, a group of students deciding, you know, who's going to be the baby, who's going to be the brother, who's going to be the mom, who's going to be the dad. And then they make decisions around that. And who's going to be the leader, who's going to be the follower. And usually somebody takes the lead and they sort of organize and orchestrate games. Unstructured play can also help children develop a sense of autonomy and agency and self-direction, which can be really important for their self-esteem and self-confidence. Some children don't really thrive with games that are structured, that already have a roadmap, and they want to create their own roadmap. And this is, you know, your student or your child who is a highly creative person, and they want to be able to express themselves through games that aren't games that are created by somebody else, but they are self-created. And these kinds of games really help them take ownership of their own play, giving them a sense of control and empowerment over their own experiences. When I was an elementary teacher and I was a school leader, I often would see, you know, we had long recess time. We had, you know, an hour of like sort of recess lunch combined, and they usually ate for 15, 20 minutes. So they would have like 45 minutes to play, I would say. And they were always out there initiating their own imaginative games. And that was, it seemed really deeply important to them. And those games were often mimicking real life, real world scenarios that they were sort of working out according to the different social structures that they see in society and the different, you know, combinations of people and how they interact. So although it's important for teachers to initiate games, it's really also important to embed opportunities during the school day for children to initiate games. Because long gone are the days when children are frequently gathered in neighborhoods to play a spontaneous game together. And with this, the art of thinking of a game to play and initiating the activity by the child is really somewhat lost. So giving them opportunities to have agency over their lives through initiating and playing open-ended games during having open-ended times for play, where they can start a pickup game in the yard or pull out a board game during recess, or gather a bunch of friends together and for some imaginative play. Having those opportunities allows them for, you know, the time and the space to develop some really important skills. And again, these skills transfer into the classroom in a positive sort of way. So what are the positive outcomes in the classroom for playing games? Building relationships through games can lead to improved classroom dynamics by fostering a sense of trust and mutual respect amongst the students. When children feel comfortable with one another and with their teacher, they're more likely to participate in class discussions, to ask questions, to share their ideas. So they had an opportunity to really connect in a low-risk environment, which was, you know, games and play. And so when they are sharing their ideas, they can feel much more comfortable because they have already, you know, collaborated and worked with their friends, and they're spending time with them and playing games with them, and they have that connection. So that's why it's especially important to be doing games in the first few weeks of school. This leads to a more engaged and interactive classroom environment where learning is more enjoyable and effective. Playing games in the classroom also has a positive impact on academic performance and behavior. Children who play games with their teachers and classmates have low-risk opportunities to develop focus and concentration and memory skills, and these skills can really transfer to all curricular areas. Games help children to develop problem-solving skills, which can be applied to many academic subjects, particularly the areas of math and science experimentation. Think about how often when they are doing science experiments, they are solving problems, and when they're doing their math problems. And so having games where there are problems that they need to solve together is going to transfer over to these academic areas as well. Games also foster a sense of camaraderie and connection, and they support the development of positive experiences for the children, which lead to positive relationships and a more peaceful and harmonious classroom. And who doesn't want that? The importance of a positive classroom environment for student success cannot be overstated. Children who feel safe, respected, and valued are more likely to be engaged in their learning to achieve their full potential. Games are a powerful tool for creating a positive classroom environment, as they promote positive relationships and foster a sense of unity and cooperation among students. So, some final thoughts. Building relationships with these elementary age children through games is a really fun and effective way to promote positive development. I could have given you a whole long list of games, and I shared a bunch in this talk, but really the purpose of this talk is to explain why it's important so that you do it, so that you are playing games with your students. Games are a powerful tool for promoting social interaction and communication, which are essential for building positive relationships. When used in a classroom setting, games can foster teamwork and cooperation, leading to improved classroom dynamics and better academic performance and behavior. And when I say a classroom setting, by the way, that also includes the outdoor environment as well, at a school setting in general. When educators incorporate games into their interactions with children, it results in a positive and enjoyable learning environment for all involved.
Thanks for tuning in to Trillium Montessori Talks. If you enjoyed this podcast, you will love the practical and actionable classroom management advice in the Montessori Principles to Practice webinar libraries. Head to trilliummontessori.org/podcast for details, and to learn about all the ways we can help you optimize your Montessori work. We'll be back soon with more Montessori inspiration. In the meantime, please help other Montessori guides find this podcast by leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast listening platform. Thank you for being a part of the Trillium community.